This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
So I'm always grateful and honored to be here. And I always say this, it's always an honor and a big accountability as well, because what I'm saying to you guys, I am accountable to Christ. That's why when I do this, I love it because I'm closer to God, because I study more, which I should do. I study more, I pray more, I ask for His discovery. Then can you please open your Bible to Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. I put it on my slide anyway. I'll read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What an awesome verse. I love this verse. This is my life verse. And let us pray. Father God, I praise you for your faithfulness, Lord. I praise you that you are a merciful Father. I praise you for your abounding grace, O God. I praise you that you love us unconditionally. Though we don't deserve you, Lord, you sent your Son to die for our sins, O God. Lord, I want to pray as well for the Shaw family as they are on their annual hunting trip. I pray for their recovering, O God. I pray that you make them enjoy their time together as a family, Lord. And Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment and understanding for all of us here in our church, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. When I was given the date to speak, I did not even realize. I just realized 2 weeks ago that today is a Mother's Day. And it did not put more pressure on me. It made me more excited because I love doing poems, especially in my younger days. So, as a tribute to the mothers, I made a poem for you, but of course with reference to my wife. But I hope it will resonate to you guys. And this poem is 100% from my heart. It's not from ChatGPT. Okay, here it goes. What is it about you that you do not run out of energy? Constantly moving for the sake of family. What are you? A mystery? Your engine room is always in full capacity, making sure that everything is where it should be. Not minding yourself, not minding your body. What is important is the welfare of your family. Sometimes you are misunderstood when you are growling at everybody. Pure love expresses in an allegory. All you wanted is a household that is organized and orderly. Is still misunderstood. You're still a mystery. As time passes and gray hair and wrinkles show, that's long gone. Not a bit that you let go. Your care for us is a built-in overflow. Oh, what a love. And I'm starting to understand you so. Now I know you're strong but also broken. Longing for someone to lean on that can give you a token. Although at times vulnerable but cannot be shaken. Truly, a mother's love is deep, pure, and God-given. I pray to God that you will be cared for, loved, and appreciated by all. Happy Mother's Day. Now we'll go to the serious part. This is my question. Your default setting at the moment. Because this could be your secular life, but I am more concerned with our spiritual journey. Because that's why, I don't know if you notice now, I'm always going back to the basics now. Because that's what we should know. We should know always our fundamentals. So my question, where are you at with your default setting, with your Christian journey? Are you growing, guys? Do you put intention in the things that are important? Reading the Word of God. Are you growing spiritually? To me, those are the most important thing now. Always cover yourself with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. And you know as well, as always, Pastor Joel mentioned to us, that we only have one weapon. That's the Word of God. Because when Christ was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, the only way he rebuked him is through the Scripture. And how about us, mere humans? We need to know our Scriptures. 2 weeks ago, and I apologize, we were not here last week because we attended my daughter's birthday in Christchurch. But 2 weeks ago, we had a takeaway from the sermon of Pastor Joel. They squeezed the fruit from the book of Ephesians. The takeaway question was, is the fruit from my life attracting others to Jesus Christ? This is a very deep question. It's piercing us, if we answer it honestly. So in line with this, I do apologize for my shortcomings with our church and to all of you guys. Then, why did I titled my message Default Setting? This is basically in relation to my journey from my secular world to infancy as a Christian, to young Christian, to an adult maturing Christian. And it gave me joy when I learned that I was made in the image and likeness of God. And who is this God? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the omnipotent God. He's the Almighty. He's everything. He's the beginning and the end. And I was made in the image and likeness of Him. So to me, when I learn, there's hope. And back then, everything was good. Then what happened? Very basic. Sin entered the world. And it corrupted us. It corrupted my nature. It corrupted it corrupted the original design of our nature. And what I put here, because we can all relate, it's a simple illustration, just having a computer. That when we open our computers, there's these people out there that will just put bad in them. Basically to destroy it, to steal from you. So we have the virus, the worms, the Trojan, the spyware, whatever it is. And same thing to us. Satan, that's what he's doing. He's the father of lies and deception. Now we know that there's a problem. So what do we need to do? And we know this as well. So life is corrupted, our operating is corrupted, nature of man is corrupted. What to do? It's like the song that we were singing, it's Christ. I remember when I was younger, someone asked, why do we raise our hand when we're praising the Lord? Because we know the answer. In primary, say, we're always excited. We know the answer. Ma'am, or sir. We know the answer. And someone asked me, so what's the question? Your life is the question. And the answer is Christ. And the truth of Christ will set us free. And in John 14:6, Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very fundamental. It's only Jesus, the only way. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. I'm just repeating this because these are fundamentals. What I told you before, this is my walk. because I see things before differently. Then through God's grace and His wisdom, He enlightened me. That's only through these things that I will be able to cure myself. It's only through Jesus Christ. Then once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the deconstruction of your old self or your old settings. Do you remember when you first accepted Christ? You feel very vigorous to share your faith. We are on fire, right? That should be our state all the time. We should always have that urgency to share the gospel because that's a salvation. That's the good news. So once we accepted Christ, that's the deconstruction begins. And these elements or ways, it helped me a lot. From looking this way, this is Pastor Joel. He always tells us this one. You turn from here to 180. Don't go 360 or you go back to your old ways. So to me, the first one is you need to be a member of a local church. I'm a believer of this. Firm believer, Angela and I. Membership to a local church because this is our covering. If you are a member of a church, you have accountability, you have covering, you have fellowship. Someone will guide you as well. Someone will help you. Someone will pray for you. And this is accountability. You cannot just be in a church, out, in and out, wherever you want. Because God is a God of disorder. God is a God of order. Then number two, Bible study. When me and Angela were in the Philippines, we profess we are Christians, but we only go to church on Sundays. We don't attend Bible study. We don't do anything. And I always say, I'm a Christian. And we only grew as a Christian when we came to New Zealand. And that was, I was 32 back then. This was 2007. Because we started attending a Bible study group. That's the only way to grow when you open your Bible. When you study the Word of God, you ask for His wisdom, you ask for His discernment, you ask Him to help you grow, you will grow. And that's the only way. Oh, sorry. Then, discipleship program and mentorship, they go together. They always say, for your Christian walk, you have a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Because the Paul and the Barnabas, you go hand in hand. If you go astray, someone will pull you back. Someone will rebuke you with love. And you should always have a Timothy as well, passing on your wisdom, passing on your discernment, passing what you learn. Because what we're learning now is also what the man of faith in the past. It's like me, I love A.W. Tozer. I listen to John Piper. I listen to the old men of faith. And you learn a lot from them because they studied the Bible. Then devotion and quiet time. I only learned this. It took me a while to have a devotion and quiet time. If you don't have this, I encourage you to have them. It's very important. I do them in the morning because that's the time that it's still, it's quiet, I'm fresh, and I begin my day in Christ with the Word of God. I really encourage you because if you don't do this, the world is chaos. Imagine you go out there without being connected to the vine. So please. And with the devotion thing, Angela and I, we enjoy having the same devotion. Because we talk about things. And if we cannot understand it, sometimes we call Pastor Joel. Because that's his role. He's our shepherd. Then we also invested in, we have a study Bible, the old and new. We have an application Bible, this thick. At first, I'm laughing, but it all made sense now because once you dig deeper and deeper, and you cannot understand, you go to those, because those were studied by great, great men of faith as well. If you're still not satisfied, go back to your scripture. Because to study the scripture, it's only the scripture that will give you enlightenment. Then disciplined prayer life. I have friends that they will, if you ask them for prayers, you are scheduled in their inter-prayer time. To me, this is amazing. Because sometimes, that's why I'm also learning, because people, we ask for prayers. Then suddenly we will ask, we will probably pray for them one time during that day. No, it shouldn't. Because it's like our church, we have a prayer list. They should be prayed all the time. And the most important thing to pray is salvation first. I learned this now that I'm more older. Should be salvation first. Because what's the point of praying for a healing if that guy is not saved? So pray for salvation, then pray for healing. Whatever the problem is, pray for salvation first. Then accountability partner. I can say my wife will always be my accountability partner. Because people will comment sometimes about me that, oh, Mike is kind, Mike is like this. Then I look at her face. Because they know us. They know us well. They are with us for 24 hours a day, 52 days a week. She'd known me since our college years, in our uni years. It's the same thing with you guys. When someone asks your husband's like this, and they commented, oh, he's like this, he's like that. Then you look at the wife. Because they know us well. But the good thing with that one, they are our mirror. They will tell us the truth. There's no way that they will lie to us because they are our life partner. And ministry. We should always be part of ministry. There are many ways in doing ministry. I'm a dairy farmer. And we have staff in the farm. They are part of our ministry. Then I'm a Filipino. I've seen the plight of Filipinos in the Philippines. Third world is a different scenario than what you've seen here in New Zealand, guys. Here, life is very comfortable. In the Philippines, it isn't. Third world. So that's why I have a very different definition of poverty than most people from a first world. So we also have our ministry there, but our first ministry is our family. What I learned too, I don't actually bring my phone inside the church. This is because it will disrupt me. Even if, say, I don't open it, but I know it's there, I'm thinking about it, what's happening in the farm. Or someone texted me. So I don't bring this inside. But today is the exception. Because if I click this, I usually see the photos of my family or Angela, just reminding me that my first ministry is my family. And with my phone, I learned this. It's helping me too. I put a widget, the word for today. It reminds me every day because my phone is with me the whole time. Then when it's on standby mode, that one's still the word for today. But this one, I don't want to be hypocrite. We still need to work, to live, and to eat. That's my schedule of the day. It also reminds me of my schedule of the day. It balances everything for me. And actually, I learned this from my wife. She'd done this first than me, then it works. So I want to pass it on to you guys as well, because this is one of the things that Pastor Joel is always telling us, to make ways for you to always remember God. That is connected to the vine as well. Now we go to as the deconstruction is going on, then the transformation begins. that's when the time that you will be amazed, because people will start to comment about you. Oh, you have a peaceful face. You have an honest face. You're very calm. When they talk to you, they sense this security, because you're allowing now the Spirit of God to dwell in you more and more and more and more, and less of yourself. And this is what Pastor Joel is telling us, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit will express love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we do these things, because we are enjoying the presence of God, we want to dig more and more. We want to dig more and more. Then we start to pray like David. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I like this as well, when he prayed in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then the other one is Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. This is our walk from infancy to maturing. Then we're digging deeper and deeper and deeper with our relationship. Then our prayer changes too. From self-centered, then we go to become an intercessory, prayerful people. I remember one of my aunts. In her home, she was praying every corner of her house. She go in and she will pray for this, the toilet, everything. Then suddenly, she was praying for the family. She was praying for friends. She was praying for church. She was praying for acquaintances. Then suddenly, she went praying for the world, praying for the problem of the world, like this, like that. Oh, what's she doing? Is she crazy? And now I do the same. I pray for everybody. Because what's happening now, you will realize that what is important is salvation. It's not your achievement. They are irrelevant now, because the song, it's like what we've sang. Our identity is Christ. We should be able to reset our default from ourselves to praying for other people for their salvation. It's like what's going on in the war, everywhere around the world. We should be grieving, because you don't know, I don't know, if those people are dying and not being saved. It's not fun, guys. So we should always have that heart that we should be praying. The battle is not, it's not here. It's in the spiritual realm. That's why I'm encouraging everybody, you need to know the Word of God. You need to know your sword. Then examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves to not. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Then I have some practical steps that I use during my journey as a Christian. First is my self-examination. With self-examination, that's my first memory verse. I was 15 when I had this memory verse. But if I say it differently, this memory verse of mine was 35 years ago. Now it sounded different. To me, I will ask myself, have I done enough? Have I shared the gospel enough? Am I equipped now to do all these kind of things that God commanded me? Because if I say when I was 15, you think, oh, you're young. But if I said, it was 35 years ago. So it means I'm 35 years as a Christian. Did I represent God rightly? Do they see Jesus Christ in me? So those are now my reflections. When I'm alone, I ask God, Lord, because imagine, We have this thought sometimes of the cycle of life, that is this life all about? You wake up, you eat, you work, you go home, you eat, you sleep, you wake up, you work. Even me, I have those thoughts sometimes. Imagine those people without hope. If they have those thoughts, that's the end of the game. But to us, there's hope. There's always hope. That's why it's always for us to cling to the Word of God and to have fellowship with your fellow Christians. Then I found out that our existence is for His glory alone. That's also very important, because sometimes we are sideways with our, well, even me, I'm very guilty of this, material possessions. I want to have this, I want to have that. I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that. I want to have this car, I have a big house, I have to have this kind of savings, you know? But Isaiah 43:7, man's chief end is for God's glory alone. Then the urgency of salvation in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. We don't need to wait for tomorrow, because we don't even know if tomorrow will come. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And past is past. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we should share the gospel. And this one, my identity in Christ. That's why I love reading the letters of Paul. Paul, he identify himself only with Christ. And that should be also our aim. That they will see less of us, then they will see Christ more in us. Then nothing to lose. I shared this before. When Paul said that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That, to me, that's what a beautiful verse. He's embodying that to be here is for Christ alone. It's for His glory. Then, of course, through God's grace and mercies, we want to finish the race with a reward as well. That's why we need to try to be obedient as a child of God. And I put there my life verse, because this is my default, you know. My default from Joshua 1:8 to Lamentations 3:22 to 23. And at that time, when I was 15, when I chose Joshua 1:8, it's for prosperity. Because Joshua 1:8 says, and I quote, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful in everything that you do. Then you will be prosperous and successful." At that time, my thinking was, I'm reading the Bible, then I will become rich. And now I just finished reading the books of Moses. I'm now into, after Joshua, Judges. Then I found out that this verse, God keep commanding the Israelites to abide by the law, because, well, from the word that being used, they are stiff-necked people back then. They always go this way, this way. God showed them so many miracles, but they are stubborn, just like us. That's why we need to be guided all the time. Then my four piece, I always apply this. The four piece, I just noticed last night. Pause, pray, process, proceed. It's not process, or else there's no ending to your pondering. So that should be pause, pray, process, proceed. If you have a situation in your life, something bothering you, anything, you need to stop. You need to just stop what you're doing. You need to pause, then talk to God. You ask for discernment. You ask for wisdom. You ask for understanding. What is this all about? Then you need to process what He will tell you. Ask for illumination. Then you can proceed. Sometimes people will ask, what's the will of God? The will of God is to be obedient. To be obedient from His word. Because everything that we do is for His glory. Even if we go to, sometimes, it's like me and Angela, because we were farming in Rotorua before. Then when we went to Patoka here in Napier, they told us, hey, Mike and Angela, is that really a blessing for you guys? Because we're going away. So from our church in Rotorua to here, but we also pray. We know our identity in Christ. So when we had this conversation, we were not shaken, we were not thrown sideways because we know our faith. Wherever we go, stand your ground, at the end of the day, your aim is Christ, to identify with Christ. Then, dependence. We are all guilty of this. People are prideful. We need to replace the I to Him alone. Because before, me, I can do this, I can do that. Oh, I'm good at this. It's always I. Then suddenly it will be changed. You will be transformed. That you can only do things through Him. Then trusting with all my heart. Same thing. Abiding in the vine. We always hear this from Pastor Joel. Or the prayer without ceasing. And we've been bombarded as well with this one. And last one is strength through Christ. Our dependence should always be in God, in Jesus Christ. We are guilty of this one. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is everything that you put into yourself, into your body. It's like filling up your tabula rasa, your Yuhari's window. But in a spiritual sense, these are our experiences before. It's like me, when I was young, I was in an environment that everybody's cursing, swearing. So one of my aunts rebuked me one time, and she told me that, why are you cursing your cousin? I didn't even realize. I was unconscious. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And at that time too, my mom's siblings, there are 11 of them. So we are a big family. And just to put a context into this one, I lost my mom when I was 3. And my dad was a drunkard. So we were not always together as a family. So I always live with my aunt or my grandparents' house. And in that house, there's so many families, probably 5, 6. Third world settings, guys. This is normal. This is normal. Then, to them, it's normal to watch a porn movie. Imagine what will happen to you if you are in a crowd, just like us, like this. Then we watch porn. And nobody will tell me that it's not normal. Imagine you watch it with your aunties and uncles. That's a big, big struggle if you don't have Christ in you. You will never overcome it because that's carnal. That's the flesh. And when I remember all of these things, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Because God is faithful. If you ask and believe in, you know, for His protection, for your deliverance, for your transformation, He will deliver you guys. Whatever your situation in life, He will deliver you. I've seen so many things. I remember I was 7. In our place before, dead bodies just normal because we have so many rebels. They fight. You will see people without ears because they were tortured. They would line up. So I've seen those. And imagine if I don't have Christ with me now, I will say life is very bitter. I should be very bitter with life. I should be very angry with life. And someone commented me too, when I shared that I lost my mom when I was 3. He told me, that's not fair. That's not fair. But because of my innocence, this is already in New Zealand. Because we don't use that in the Philippines. Because we're still afraid of God. And to say that's not fair, it's like saying to God, that's not fair. You're questioning His sovereignty. But that's the other side of the story too. There are people who think that way. So what should we do? We should share the gospel. That's the only, the truth. That the truth will set them free. Most important, this is your fundamental. Where you are grounded, where you are standing. Being grounded in the word of truth. And you will be able to do this if you read your Bible. If you open your Bible, you do discipleshiping, you do mentoring. The basic stuff. Sometimes they are overshadowed, but the basic stuff will make you very strong. And this one summarizes in 2 Timothy, I'll read this one. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. All scripture is it's God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And now we know all of this. So what should we do? The practical stuff, we're talking about practical stuff. Defaulting to love. We should go back to defaulting to love because Christ loved at first, so we should love. How do we carry ourselves outside? How do we respond to circumstances? In a world of division, a believer's first response should be love rather than judgment and retaliation. I think I shared this when we went home the last time. I was complaining in the Philippines because it's too hot, traffic, then you see undisciplined people. That should not be my heart, you know. I was rebuked. I was reminded by God, hey, you know, you're professing that you're like this and you're trying to do also the fruit of the Spirit. But once we are tested, that's why it's very important for us to be grounded with the Word of God. Then sometimes, how do we treat with others that are less fortunate than us? In the Philippines, it's different because there's this, they put you in a pedestal. If they see you a bit of money, then they see you have a good house. You have a car, they will address you sir or ma'am. And right away you are here in the socioeconomic status and they're here. Then in the Philippines you can afford to have helpers. My questions, and it now, it saddens me, and it grieves me when I go home. I see also my relative, because I was like that before too, that when they talk to them, you know why, human nature. It's not right. So we should always understand that we should always go back and default to love. So we know all these things. So what's the end game for us? What's the end game for us? To me, it's the embodiment of the greatest commandments. And those, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second one, love your neighbors as yourself. The first one is be like Christ. The second one, to be able to embody that, what can we do? To share the greatest gift. The Great Commission. That's the greatest gift, the salvation that we can share. Always remember that salvation comes from hearing. So we need to do our part because there are also some other denomination that no, they will come. No. It was commanded by Christ that we should go out there and share the gospel of Christ. Then be like Christ. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The other thing that I want to emphasize too, that our focus should be our rewards in heaven, not here. We are just passers-by. We are just passers-by, guys. So this will also be part of the renewing of our mind. Should set things, everything above. Then I'll go back to my life verse at the moment. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. My challenge to you guys, because default setting is always changing. As Christians, we walk from glory to glory. Your default setting should be from glory to glory. We should always be maturing as Christians. We are also commanded that we should always be ready to defend our faith. What if someone will ask you, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in the gospel? Do we know what to say? Know your basics. Know your basics. Let us pray.
Lord, thank you, Father God, for giving us the time to come here, to fellowship, to glorify you, Father God. And Lord, thank you for giving the time for everybody. And Lord, I just pray for your covering all the time. And I pray that everybody will grow. Then everybody will put the intention, O God, to know you more and more. And Lord, I thank you that we have this church who comes here grounded on your word, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Joel and Beverly, that you use them mightily, and they only speak, Lord, from the word of God. And once again, oh God, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for giving us discernment all the time, the wisdom and learning, Lord. And Lord, as we depart from this place, may we still embody you the rest of the week, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.